thank you for joining me for another Ram Radio webcast, The Biblical Alternative. It is Saturday, April the 4th of 2009 in Los Angeles, California. This is Pastor John Coleman, right here live in the Lucy Coleman studio, having a good time talking with you about some things that are going on in America today, some things that are going on in our country, some things that are going on in our Christian community. Have some very interesting things to share with you today, and I want to thank Sister Norma for sending me another piece called Signs of Pride. Well, just like to welcome you to the webcast. Remember 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Very interesting text. It says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. I'm going to read a thing called Signs of Pride, but I'm going to do a twist on it. Because I'm telling you that today we're living in a world that is so strange that if you disconnect your mind to what's really going on in this world today and give in to all of the foolishness that's surrounding us in terms of the name of the Lord, you will find yourself walking right into the concentration camps, into the ovens. Just think with me one day. One day when you come to johnecoleman.org, won't hear me anymore. All right? Give that a thought. Thanks for tuning in to Into the Word, which is the biblical alternative. Eric Reed. Eric Reed, an album called Stand. All right, thanks, Eric. You know what? I want to read this piece, and I want to share it with you because I think it's important information. It was sent to me by Norma, and I really appreciate Norma sending it to me. Whenever she sends me a piece, I take time to read it. I don't know where she got it from. I think it's been traveling all over the internet. But as I was reading this particular piece, I was surprised because, well, all right, just let me run it by you. She says that in this article right here, it says that some of the signs of pride are insecurity, okay, the need to be right, okay. I've been accused of both of those thus far. Being argumentative, I've been accused of that. More invested in being heard than hearing, I've been accused of that. Anger, I've been accused of that. Irritability and impatience. Oh, you know I've been accused of that. I have an intolerance. The other one is a lack of submissive attitude. Definitely, I have been accused of that. Come on, what else? Not easily corrected. I've been accused of that too. Receiving correction but not changing. I've definitely been accused of that. Needing others to take your advice. Well, I've been accused of that, but I don't care whether they take it one way or the other. Number 11, needing to proclaim your title or degrees. I've been accused of that, especially by ignorant people that won't go to school and do anything for their lives. Being stubborn, I've been accused of that. Comparisons and competition, I've been accused of that. Now, I want to share something with you. These 13 things, I'm going to read what the author, whoever the author is, says about these signs of pride. And since I have to admit readily here at the beginning of this webcast that I've been accused of all of these things, I'm going to read through this article and I'm going to share with you the dangers of the dialectic where people will be able to, and because since I've been accused of all that, it's very easy to make me a terrorist. It is. And check this out. This, I'm presupposing, was written by Christians. Okay? So if the lady that sent it to me is listening and the people that sent it to her to send it to me are listening, listen to my response. Okay? It was taken from something called Friday's Devotion. And I'm wondering who's putting these devotional things together because I'm going to put a little twist on it and let you know what a Christian that's been on the planet for enough years to know how to deal with the dialectic. Insecurity was the first one. And the article says that research reveals that clergy, as one of the most insecure of all professional groups. Now, let me share this with you right now. That ain't me. I am not insecure in this way. No, I'm not. Because I'm not only clergy, but I work as a secular professor. I'm also a father. I was a husband for 34 years. I have dear friends around me now, not insecure. Goes on and says that insecurity is a root of many unhealthy and ungodly behaviors. It provokes us to want to lavish praise and attention of others too much. I don't do that. So that ain't me. Much of pride is motivated out of one's unmet need for self-worth. Now, be careful when you hear language like this, because this is the language of the psychologist. You don't know nothing about my unmet needs. Don't assume that you know about my unmet needs. And then it says, finding one's identity and security in Christ is a must to avoid pride. I've been knowing Christ longer than most of you have been on the planet that's listening to me. I become a Christian in August of 1967, and I never have been a prideful person in insecure, even as a black man. As a black man, I'm not insecure. Hell, I'm black, and it's just going to be that way. See, now you may say, oh, I don't think you should use that kind of language. You know what? You're the one that's insecure. Number two, the need to be right. The need to be right. Says every encounter that someone who has had a hard time. Have you ever encountered someone who has had a hard time being wrong? This is a symptom of pride. I don't have a hard time of being wrong. I've been accused of needing to be right, but could it be that I've done the research and I am right? Let me give you a good example. Living by the Word Bible Church, run by Craig Hawkins, okay, here in the Los Angeles, California area. One of the thieves that stole my radio presentation years and years ago. Now he's a pastor of a church that the other black pastors thought that they were pastors over. And I told them that if they stuck with me, that would never happen to them. But no, they needed to be right. I didn't need to be right. That's why I resigned. I don't need that. A true Christian doesn't need a group of people around him encouraging him to do anything. God is the one that encourages. This article goes on and says, the need to be right prevents one from appropriately evaluating issues as well as themselves. And then they use the scripture, Galatians 6:3. Let me grab my Bible here. Got to reach over here. Got two computers on with the scriptures. Well, why don't I use the computers, right? Gee whiz, I'm around here doing this. I'm living in an electronic age here. I think that was Galatians chapter, yes, 6 verse 3. Let's see here. Got all these computers on. Put it to work, brother. Let the electronic devices work for you. Okay. My goodness. You know, I should have gone to my Bible. I should have gone to my Bible, friends. But 6:3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let me share something with you right now. I don't think myself to be something. I know that when Christ came to save me, that I am nothing. But it's not that I need to be right. But how about this one? That I am right. You see, when you're living in a postmodern generation, they don't believe that you can be right. Know this, that when everything comes to an end in the good old US of A, as the way it used to be when we had our personal freedoms, liberties, and you knew that you were right, even when you're incarcerated, locked up, dying in a hole somewhere or shot in the head, you were right. And you will go to heaven being right. Goes on and says that a person who needs to be right has an exalted investment of himself or herself and thinks that he or she knows better than others. Well, I do, especially if you come against my thesis, if you come against my tradition. See, be careful how you listen to these so-called writers of Christianity here, because they can take this thing and twist this thing on you. The need to be right is frequently manifested through always saying, God told me or God showed me. Well, he did tell me in the word, and he showed me through the precious leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't get confused. See, signs of pride. No, hold it. Hold it. Be careful how you read a Christian document, because this thing will have you having your head all hung down, not even knowing why the Hades you are walking upright as a human being on this planet. Though, don't listen to these people. Wait a minute. Listen. Number three, being argumentative. Now, since many of you have come to this website and I've, you know, visited when you've gone to certain YouTube clips and you've written about me, you think that I'm a hellion because I point out the sins of these crooked pimp behind preachers. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'm not being argumentative. Why do you want me to agree with the pimp? Argumentative individuals who argue their point of view, especially to those in authority over them. The only one that's in authority over me is Jesus Christ. Now, I give honor to whom honor is due. I respect government. I do respect government, especially when the government is right and godly. But I don't respect government who is evil and sinful. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture on that, and that's not on this outline. I just thought that I'd go here because some of you may think that I'm just totally disrespectful as a person like that, but I'm not. And I'm thinking about the particular scripture when Peter and the other apostles were before the council in Jerusalem in the early chapter of Acts, when they told Peter not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. The Sanhedrin council and with the authorities said, you are no longer, after they beat him in jail, and they beat them. Well, let me read it to you in Acts chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid their hands on them. Epabalon is the Greek word, and this just doesn't mean that they laid hands to give them a love tap, meaning that they snatched them, they grabbed them, they beat these Christians down, and they put them in jail until the next day. And it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the message believed. See, Peter and the apostles and the Christians were doing what they were supposed to do. Many people heard the message and believed the message, and the governmental authorities laid hands on them. Now, this is what they did. And it came about on the next day, verse 5, that the rulers and the elders and the scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, in other words, they placed the Christians right in between these dudes, they began to inquire, by what power, by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. See, my friends, let me tell you something. When the governmental authorities come to get you, when they come to take you away, my friends, when they come to take you away, and there's many of you Christians listening to me that don't believe that this can happen in America. Let me give you, wait, let me read this and then remind me to give you the FEMA story. You won't believe this. All right. Now, let me pause and give it to you right now, and then I'll come back to this. I got a phone call yesterday, and the phone call was telling me that their son was picked up by the police and put in jail. I got a phone call this morning before I did this webcast, and the person said, well, I thought that I'd call and give you the scoop on why my son was in jail. I said, all right, give it to me. He was at the high school walking his girlfriend home, who lived across the street from the high school. A group of boys attacked one of his friends and his girlfriend as they were leaving the high school, and the boy start to defend himself. And then this man's son that I know sent the girl home, and the girl's father was watching out of his window. Listen to this, watching the whole incident. All of a sudden, police officers swarmed on the kids and arrested the two black boys that did not have anything to do with starting the fight. As a matter of fact, the young man proceeded to walk across the street to his girlfriend's house after he went to assist his friend that was being beaten to the ground by these other boys. Now, these officers of the law swoops on the two boys that were being beaten. The other boys got away. And the two boys that were being beaten, one of them, my dear friend's son, was swooped up and taken and cordoned off into three different buildings. The parents couldn't find the child for hours. The man that witnessed the whole incident told my friends that he saw the whole thing and that the boys didn't do anything wrong. Finally, after hours and hours of these parents trying to find their sons, they found out that it wasn't the LAPD or the school police, but it was FEMA police. I never heard of this. FEMA police hanging around high schools. And once the parent had located where the child was and began to ask for information, the FEMA police told him, "You don't ask us anything." Just like they told the girl's daddy when he said, "I saw the whole thing and these children were innocent." And they told him, "You shut up. You don't have anything to say. We're controlling this." Now, what that was, and I want you guys to listen to me and listen well, because I thought that it was the LAPD, but it wasn't LAPD. Now they got FEMA police operating out of high schools, swooping kids up, taking them from one location to the next, keeping the parents in disarray. Finally, when the parent got in charge or in touch with this kid, he was speaking with a black female officer. And another officer lied on the kid and said that he was trying to run and she had to chase him. And the father of his girlfriend said, "That's a lie. The kid was right in front of my house. My daughter lives right across the street from the high school. No one was running. The only one that was running were the thugs that perpetrated the whole incident to jump on the two boys to give the police an opportunity to respond in SWAT team fashion." Listen to me, Christians. I'm trying to help you. I love you. Our freedoms, I told you, our freedoms are being dissipated point by point. They're training. Now, finally, my friend locates where his son was. He's taken to three or four different locations. And one officer was telling the parents, "We aren't going to let him go until he tells us," here's a quote, "until he tells us what we want him to tell us." Well, I'll be darned. How in the world can a person do that? You Christians better listen to me, because reading some of these stupid Christian signs coming across the internet, these things are put out by individuals that is trying to shut down your personal freedoms. The man finally got his son back, and I didn't know that it was FEMA until I told him to get a lawyer to take it to the LAPD. And he said, "John, you want to hear something funny? It wasn't LAPD. It was FEMA police." I said, "What are FEMA policemen doing hanging out at schools?" An LA Unified School District has their own private police force. And then the police force within the jurisdiction that you're working, like LA Sheriff or LAPD, but FEMA? And I told him, I said, "Man, you know what that was? That was a practice session on control, seizure of a person's personal rights and freedoms, and interrogation processes." And I said, "And this thing works when they can put a scheme together." And I know you think that I'm a conspiracy theorist. I know depraved human nature, people. I know it. I can just go back 10 or 12 years, a whole church using on me to try to disqualify me and scandalize my name. I know, and let me tell you black people something, I know Negroes. I'll use the other one if I want to. I know these. And some of you that know the kind of people in your nationality, you know the dirt bags that would do stuff like this. Now, needless to say, the man has his son back. But that was just a practice scheme. And I told him, I said, man, there's going to be more schemes like that. They set up the attacks. Isn't that weird that they arrested the two boys that had nothing to do with it and confined them and constrained them, and their parents could not get custody of them? Those of you that are raising your children out in the wilderness, man, don't look. Get them out, if you can, of public schools. If you love your children, this whole thing is a marked setup of 666. And like I told you to watch that clip on Obama deception on YouTube. And you need to pay attention to it. Now, I know that I'm going to receive some clips telling me some negative things about Alex Jones. I want to see you out there with a bullhorn. I want to see you deal with the information that you have. I know you don't think that your country